today, Cammy had actually approached me asking about ashwagandha, which is an adaptogenic Ayurvedic herb. And so I had wanted to do a talk, and then as we were talking, I was like, more people want to know about these things, so we're gonna do it. So today, my intention is to kind of give you a basic idea of Ayurveda, and you might already have some of an idea. You might have read some things already, and give you a few practical tips that you could walk away with and like implement if you wanted to into your daily life, and to kind of give you an idea too of like what my course is that I keep mentioning. It's called Awake and Radiant Living, and it's a year long, it's actually a 10-week or 12-week program that we like do 4 times. And so it's a year long program that by the end of the year, you've radically changed your life. You've changed it in a big way by the first 12 weeks, but by the end of a year, it's like a pretty big, significant shift. So now I'm gonna turn it back to you real quick and just ask, like, why are you interested? Why are you here? If you don't mind sharing, like, do you have things that are showing up in your life that you're like, yeah, maybe this could help me address fill in the blank? Or is it more like, I just want to know what Ayurveda is about? So I'm just curious. You don't all talk at once, for goodness sake. but yeah, do you guys want to share a little bit, anything?
Sure. I'm just interested in it. I've read a little bit here and there, and so I just like alternative medicines and thought it's a good opportunity to learn a little bit more.
Cool. Yeah.
I recently moved here, and I've gone through a lot of changes. I've lived in Utah for the past 40 years, and my mom lives here near in Lander area. And I don't know, I'm kind of feeling lost and confused because I don't know anybody, and it's all new to me. So I've started meditating and trying to, you know, ground myself somehow. I'm thinking, you know, this can't hurt.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
I've studied a little bit of Ayurveda, or I don't even know how to pronounce it, but that kind of medicine. I just believe in food as medicine. And
yeah.
So, but Cammy sent me the poster because I don't have Facebook or anything. So she texted it to me, and it said something about overwhelm, and that convinced me that I need to go. So,
that's why I thought of sending it to you.
Thank you.
Yes. And I was interested when you were talking about it in class with like the different
doshas.
Yeah, constitutions.
Yeah.
Sounded really interesting. Then I started looking at it once you talked about it, and then I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. So, and then I had the ashwagandha, and I ordered it, and I like it.
Cool.
So
what is that?
Yeah.
It's an herb.
What is it? Is it helping with something?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but
it's a supplement for.
Yeah, it's.
How long have you been taking it?
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's long enough. Yeah.
And it, like, for some reason, it feels like I wake up in the morning. Like, I just wake up, and I'm not, like, dragging. I don't, like, need to have, like, coffee. Like,
that's huge.
I just wake up, and I go, and I don't know what. But it's when I started taking that. I don't know if I'm just doing fast. I'm not really doing anything different. And I sleep a little bit better, it feels like.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Said it would do that, so.
Yeah.
I was like, hey. It works.
Yeah, everyone could benefit from that.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm Amy, and I'm also new to town. I've been here for like 4 months now, I guess. So, same thing, just finding ways to plug in and find like-minded and people who have similar interests. So there's that, and Ayurveda kind of weaves in and out of my life, and I don't really practice anything or hold to it, but I'm always really interested in kind of that more instinctual wild, and I think that people, yeah, truly see a lot of that in traditional medicine as people were very kind of instinctual in how they navigated the body and the world. So, yeah.
That's cool way to say that.
More.
Yay. Yeah, so one of the things that makes Ayurveda different than Western medicine is, I don't know what I'm pointing to. Somebody said something, and now I'm like, I don't remember. that makes it different from Western medicine is that Western medicine very specifically is good at treating a specific symptom. I mean, you could say it's good at it because if you want help with one specific thing, like a headache, you can take ibuprofen. If you need your kidney worked on, you know, you can go get surgery, you know, like those kinds of things. But when we talk about holistic view, which, you know, is most often spelled with an H, but I like to spell it with a WH because it's the word whole, not the word whole, right? Mm-hmm. It's like not that there's a hole somewhere. It's like all of it. And so Ayurveda is one of several of like ancient pictures, if you will, like ancient. So the idea is that like back in like so there's a text called like there's the Vedas, like back in India, if we go back to like 1500 BC, and there are these different texts that where things were written down, and that was a long time ago. And a lot of the stuff was written down, we don't have to go into this very much, but these people that wrote them, they were called rishis or seers, means seer. They would go and spend time communing with nature, like spend time in a cave, spend time like in solitude, like spend time like being with the cosmos and absorbing whatever wisdom that, like, they were instinctually wild, right? Like, because that's how we were, that's how we kind of should be, and we've gotten very far away from that in our modern day technical overwhelmed society, like where everything is scheduled. That's not nature's time. That's not the time that our bodies are meant to run on, it's not the time that, it's not how we've been performing and living for thousands and thousands of years, like the way we are right now. This is new, what's going on right now. And it's kind of coming to a head, I think, of like people just like, how much can we take before we all spiral out of control? You know, like blow our lids. And so like, hence like there's this natural like uprising of the instinctual rewilding happening, like people learning like, oh right, like nature survives, it's doing its own thing, like we can eat these plants, things are actually supporting us, and you know, it's more meaningful to connect to one person than it is to be online where you can connect to billions of people. But are you really connecting? Sometimes maybe you are, but you know, not like this, not like a from a real physical. There's something to be said for that. I mean, online, like technology is awesome. It can bring groups of people together in wonderful ways, and you can meet people and help people, and not to say that that's bad, but it's just something that it's kind of like it's been introduced very quickly, and it's very addictive. Like technology and social media is very addictive. So it's like we're coming to this point as a culture of like, oh man, what do? We need some boundaries, I think. You know, we need some, like, to establish some, something's gotta give. So these rishis learned, they knew how the body works, how nature works, by observing it, by experiencing it. And then over time, the whole picture was written down. So, like, that's where we see, I think, like, in 1500 BC, like, the first time that Ayurveda was written down, right? But it had been practiced before that, because yoga is at least 5,000 years old, we know. And yoga and Ayurveda is the sister science of yoga. And Ayurveda literally means, like, the science or the philosophy or the study of life. And it's all-encompassing. So they believed that, you know, like, you don't just treat a mental thing from the mind. You don't just treat a physical thing from the body. You don't just treat an emotional thing from the emotion, or the spirit from the spirit. You know, like, but that we're body, mind, spirit. So if we're going to treat something, or if we're going to heal, really is what we're talking about, if we're going to heal anything, that we have to go to the root of it and not just the symptom. That makes sense. So it's funny how, I made a little note to myself here, when we, you know how when you grow up, when you're little and you start learning things, you know, like, when you get a little older and you're in school, it's sentence structure, or like, these are the rules of math. When you're even smaller, it's like, that's not how we behave in public, you know, like these kinds of things. Like, so all of these things we learn, then you get into that adolescent stage where you're kind of rebellious, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't have to do that. Things start to get a little out of hand. And so you can go a number of ways at that point. But for a lot of people, that's kind of where things can spiral out of control. But then you get to this other point in life, like, where you actually gain a little maturity to go with, like, your energy. And you realize, oh, people can understand me better if I speak in correct sentences, you know, like there's a reason my mom told me to brush my teeth. There's a reason that I, you know, you don't shove people in line, you know, like, you like realize, like, there's this, if I do these things, it's, they're not like bad rules, you know, and sure, you can break them, but then what happens, you know, like, it's not good. So Ayurveda, this is a roundabout way of showing you, like, Ayurveda teaches us how to be in bodies, how to have a body, and how to heal. And it teaches us by rhythm, by, like, the rhythm, the natural rhythm of the day, and what our bodies need, which is called dinacharya, and then the natural rhythm of, like, the seasons and the year, which is ritucharya. Write that down. and so like, we don't have to abide by these rules, and, like, but there's a price to be paid if we don't, you know. And so, like, the sad thing is, in our culture, we're not even taught these things. Like, we don't even learn, like, as a kid, someone should be telling these children, like, this is what you need to do to have a healthy whole self, you know, like, your body, mind, and spirit. And that doesn't happen. So, like, then we become adults and we start, like, oh, Ayurveda, what's that? Oh, you know, like, finding all of these things, which is really cool that we're doing this. But, like, something also needs to shift in our culture. This is me just kind of getting on a little bit of a soapbox. Something needs to shift in our culture so that we're teaching the children, so that we're not in our 40s, 50s, 60s trying to figure it out, you know, and, like, trying to undo damage that we've done. So, I've got a dry throat. I'm going to have a little drink of water. Want to have some with me?
Sure.
So, there you go. Cheers. So, let's see where I'm going now. I do have a little tiny handout, and you could write on this if you wanted. But Let's see, how many do I need? 1, 2, 3, 4. Two this way and three that way. Not that you need to take notes on that. There's also, if you do, there's a good amount of kind of big books and some magazines and things if you want something to bear down on.
I don't have a pen.
No,
do you want to borrow a pen?
Do you want a pen?
Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks.
Amy's a rebel. I don't need
it's
a pen.
Language arts teachers can make them do this all day, right? Take notes.
So when we look at one of the ways that Ayurveda teaches us how to have a body and how to
Do you practice Ayurveda in your own personal life?
Yes.
what brought you to it?
Okay. So that's a good point. I could have gone into that. When there was a certain point in my college career where I was one of my dance professors was teaching a yoga course and it seems weird and fuzzy, right? Like when I talk about it now, but mm-hmm. something about it really resonated with me and just felt like, yes, yoga, that's me. I don't know. So I took the course and I started doing yoga and teaching yoga, and then at some point finding out about Ayurveda, the sister science of yoga, you can say, and just really had a calling to it at that point. And so I kind of studied it on my own, just like this was my first Ayurveda book that I got. It's Dr. Ladd. It's called Ayurvedic Home Remedies, and I got it and I was like, wow, this stuff's so cool. And I started reading about it and doing some of the things, like as a yogi, like there's some parts of Ayurveda that are kind of just learn to kind of do, like the neti pot or just certain things but I wasn't regular. I wanted to study it at one point in my life. I had the intention of studying Ayurveda as a becoming a practitioner, and then it just didn't happen, and then my life kind of took a different course, and then and then it was actually about a year and a half ago I entered into a program and just recently became certified as a yoga health coach. And in the program, we use Ayurveda. So we learn a lot about Ayurveda, more so, and in particularly what is across the board. What are the things that any human across the board needs? Right. Instead of as we talk about it a little bit today, one of the things we're going to do is a dosha quiz and find out or at least start to find out what our dosha might be. And when you get into that side of it, if you go at it just from, very narrowly, what am I and what does that mean? And that you can quickly get overwhelmed with details of what your dosha is, because there's so many things that when you start looking at that kind of very specifically, there's a lot to get overwhelmed with. The season right now, we are in spring, and spring, early spring especially, is a kapha time. So there's a lot of wet and heaviness that happens. And so because we're not quite into the part of spring where it's full on, more summery. And here it kind of just goes, it's kind of short anyway, but we don't have that. Early spring is wet a lot of times. It's been really muddy and wet. And so the wet, earthy heaviness means in general, no matter who you are, we want more things that are going to bring energy, doing, like spicy foods even are better, depending on your constitution a little bit, but still a little spicy. Not things like right now is a time to, so now we're talking about seasonal, like more than the Ayurveda clock of the day, but seasonally, you want to do things that are, you don't want to do heavy things. We want to like, right, you know, notice how you feel like everybody when the spring starts to show itself, you start to feel like you need to do spring cleaning. It's just like a natural kind of thing, like, oh, I need to get rid of all of this stuff. All of a sudden, you know, like, look how dirty my walls are. All this stuff starts just kind of showing itself. Were you guys talking about this recently?
No.
Or something? You're like, yep.
So true.
Yeah. And so, like, that, it's funny how that, like just happens. It seems like it's kind of like if you've had a baby before, like, when you get to, like, towards the end, they talk about women wanting to nest. Like, you know, all of a sudden, like, you're just like, oh, we need to make sure the refrigerator's stocked. You know, like, it's just everything has to be just so. And it's just this maternal instinct. So, same thing. This is just like, it's like your body knowing, like, it's time to get rid of some of this stuff. This is a change. Like, there's something going on here. And if you really, if you're kind of in tune and paying attention, you'll probably start to notice that you start to crave different things. And if you don't at all, then you're probably not in tune. Like, or you're like just too much. You're carrying too much with you still from, like, either you're already, or you could be confused if you don't know, like, what's going on. You could be confused and be like, I'm not sure what I should be having right now. Maybe I'll just overeat. So, but there is, like, at least, like, some kind of a, like, it's almost like an itch for something different. Mm-hmm.
I always feel really restless in the springtime. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I need to be doing something, but I'm not sure what it is.
I totally identify with that. And so one of the things, like, that right now you want to stay away from is super heavy stuff. You want to be eating less and staying away from sugary things. Mm-hmm. Because, like, anything that's heavy is gonna hold you, like, since it's already like earth and water, it's already kapha right now, it's gonna, like, what happens is naturally, just as when you watch, like, you know, through the seasons, you see how, like, the leaves start falling, right, in autumn, and then you got the leaves that cover the ground, and then you've got the snow that starts falling, and you've got all of this change that happens underneath naturally by itself, like, as the leaves start to decompose, and then that melts, and then the wind starts to sweep things away, and you get rain, and it's cleaning everything, like, right around this time, and, like, so it naturally, it's a time where we want to sweep out the old, and the old has been the pattern from winter, is we wanted heavier things. We were inside more. We were, like, not as active, unless you're, like, crazy winter sports person. Like, you're not quite as active as you are in the summer. And it is, it's a darker time. So it's, like, literally we have less sunlight, and we need more rest, and, like, all of this in the winter. So if we listen to the seasons, you know, and what nature is, what's happening around us, we need to reflect the same stuff. Like, in autumn, things are dying. Things are beginning to die, you know, like, and it's like a real time for reflection. And then throughout the whole winter, there's that whole, like, just going deeper in and reflecting and letting things go. But it's winter, so they don't go. We kind of, like, things stay heavier during that time, but so now this is the time where we need to stop eating the heavy stuff. We need to make the change, and then even clean out our spaces, clean out our digestive system, clean out, like, with a detox. This is the time of year, like, when we shift from winter to spring, and then when we shift again from fall to winter, like, those are the two times that our great for doing a detox, like some kind of a cleanse, because that's when you kind of want to restart naturally. Because you don't want to take this heaviness with you from winter into this spring, right? You want to be light. You want to like be able to start fresh. It's kind of like the new year in a way, right? Like you're like, it's nature's like brand, everything's brand new again. And in the same way, when we're coming out of summer, like there's so much heat and so much dew, you know, and all this big energy happening that's external. And we have to do something to like kind of calm the fire as we move, want to start to slow down with autumn. So that's another, like that's the other detox time. I'm actually starting a detox this week. If any of you are interested, like hopping on with me.
What is it?
It's just like it's a 3-week thing. And we do like the first week is going to be like you going in, like you're starting, right? Where like you design it from the beginning in a way, like what do I want out of this and stuff. And then first week is just going in. The second week is like the deep cleanse. And then the third week is coming out. And I'm not like, eventually I'll probably like do like lead a cleanse, like where it's a program and people pay for it. But right now I'm just doing it. And if you like are interested, like you can do it along with me, and I'll just post it on Facebook. Or send you texts. Send you texts. Yeah. So like with some resources and stuff like about like what's going on. But like for instance this morning, I'm getting a little bit off topic, but this morning like I've been feeling the change, but then I also like sometimes feel a resistance to the change, you know, like what? I want to have some cheese, or I like my coffee, or I want to sleep in today, and those kinds of things. And that happens, but this morning specifically, like I woke up and when I was making juice, I decided I was going to make my juice a little bit more astringent for me and then the kids. Like, I put carrots in the kids' juice too, but in mine it was just lemon and celery and parsley. It was delicious. And it felt like, that's just what I need, you know, and some romaine leaves. But it felt like so perfect. And then I didn't eat anything until lunch, like eat. And it was perfect. So like it's not going to be perfect for you necessarily. It might be, but I'm not saying you should be doing that. I'm saying like when we listen and feel into what does my body really want? It's so kind of the opposite of the way we usually go about things in our culture, because we tend to like. You know, like people write books on, you should be eating like this. You should be doing this. You know, like people tell their like parents, moms, how like, this is how often you should nurse your baby. Like, you know, like all these things, instead of coming from the inside, it's like somebody telling you, like that's not gonna work. You know, it's gotta, if it's gonna be any kind of a change, like a real, something that works for you, it's gotta be something where you're actually, it's sustainable. You're listening to yourself and you're nourishing yourself and you're noticing. But it's all a process. So, long answer to your question, but when I started the program that, the Yoga Health Coaching Program, the first part of it is the part where we as like yoga health coaches go through the 10 to 12 weeks program, of which is very much of a big part of the course that I was talking about that I teach. And so like, so that we can really get established in all of those habits for ourselves and see what a difference it makes in our lives. And so, and it's hard to do, like, so maybe before when I picked up this book in 1999 or whatever it was, like I I loved this stuff, but it got kind of complicated with trying to figure out like all the little specific pieces of it, but also it was just me. Like, so the thing that's different about like being in the course is you're held by a group and you're all doing it, which is why if you guys all want to detox, or, you know, like, we'll like hold each other accountable, and it'll be way different than if you were just doing it at home by yourself, and then, like, you know, 2 days into it, you were like, yeah, my life's too busy, I'm not gonna do this anymore, you know, because you wouldn't do that, because you'd be like, no, Melissa's doing it, Cammie's doing it, Amy's doing it, and they're gonna be reporting on their progress, so I'm gonna keep up with it too. And so that's one of the reasons why, like, in the 10 to 12 week program, like, it's so much more successful. Like, there's actually a statistic of people who are in groups together. Like, if you're doing something, if you're working toward a goal in a group together, you are 70% more, like, that success rate is 70% higher than if you're on your own. It's incredible. Like, it makes a huge difference. And so, so solidifying these habits, I don't want to make it sound like I'm perfect, because I'm not, but doing these habits and them evolving the way that they do in my life has made it so that, yeah, it's a big, big thing that I believe in, and a big part of why I do this. Because what happens is, you know, like, I've always been a little bit of a rebel. Maybe you are too. Maybe you are, and that's why you're here, actually. I think you are all kind of rebels. Because if you weren't, this wouldn't have appealed to you at all. But I'm a little bit of a rebel in that, too, that I never really liked rules. You know? You know? Like, I never really took to them. So, you know, it takes a while. Like, some of them, I wasn't like a... I was actually pretty good as a kid and a teenager, but as far as, like, if somebody tells you, like, you need to do this, then I'm not gonna want to do it, you know, like, and that's just like how I am a little bit. And so same thing, like, I think with, you need to get 8 hours of sleep, you know, you need to drink 8 glasses of water a day, you need to make sure you have a good breakfast, you know, all of these different things we hear, we can easily, like, just say, yeah, whatever, I'll do what I want, and that's true, but I guess my point is, I've kind of resisted, for the majority of my life, resisted having, like, something regimented. And then this goes back to, actually, to the doshas. With the doshas, certain doshas, like, really love being regimented, and certain doshas, like, really just like to see whatever the day brings, you know, and, like, just be, like, ready to change or go on a moment's notice. And those are both great, but especially the ones who don't like to commit to rhythm need it even more. And so, but we all need it. And the point is that when we have some kind of consistency, like when we have a rhythm, just like the sun coming up and going down, like, that's a rhythm, right? But if we're not paying attention to it at all, if we're not going outside to see the sun or the moon, and we're not caring about the weather, because, you know, who cares? We've got lights in our house, and we can, you know, we live in houses, we live in little boxes sheltered from what nature is. And so, like, we don't have to care as much as we did back in the day. And so without that rhythm, without, like, attuning to that rhythm, we have no anchor, in a way. We're kind of untethered. And, like, then everything becomes, like, an issue, in a way. And we can start, that's one reason for overwhelm, is that there's no rhythm. Right? Because then, like, something happens and you're like, ah, you know, like, everything's all scattered around anyway in your rhythm. So you're like, what do I do with that? Whereas if this is your rhythm, something comes into your life, either it fits or it doesn't. No thanks. You know what I mean? Like you set a boundary, or all right, I can put this over here. And it's not so big of a deal. That's just one little analogy that I came up with in the moment. But seriously though, if we don't have the rhythm, then we spend a lot of extra energy, time, effort in trying to manage. Just manage. Instead of, it's like the rhythm is just like, and we know like with rhythm, with anything, like an object, inertia, the law of inertia, like an object in motion tends to stay in motion, right? Unless something knocks it out of motion, but right? So like if you're just doing who knows what, then that's your norm. Once you, it might feel hard to get into more of a rhythm, but once that rhythm like has taken a couple turns, all of a sudden you've got momentum. And then this rhythm becomes something that stabilizes you. And then all of a sudden you're like just gliding through life in a much, and like, I mean, you can experience more joy, you have more time. All of these things happen just from syncing up with the natural rhythm of nature. It's incredible. But it takes something to shift something out of its, like, even if you have a chaotic inertia right now, like you have that, right? That's your momentum. Your momentum's in craziness. I have some of that too. Like, so I'm not saying that I don't have it, but to get into the wheel, something has to happen in a way, like, because unless you have absolutely no resistance to it and you're just, yeah, I'll start doing that. And then, cool. But a lot of people have resistance to it, right? So you're like, you have these things that you're already doing and these things that you don't necessarily want to quit yet. And so then it becomes hard to like get on the Ferris wheel. And so one of the ways that we do that is by really presencing the pain that it brings to your life not to be doing that. So like, and like you can pick out little things like, well, I can't drop this last 10 pounds that I've been hanging on to for, you know, 7 years, or I know I'm addicted to coffee but I just don't want to stop, or whatever it is for you. Like, I wake up groggy, I don't feel really good, it takes me an hour or so to get going. That doesn't feel good. I know that's not, you know, great. And whatever it is, like, you, that's your thing. That's your little thing or things, you know, like I'm kind of constantly overwhelmed or whatever it is. But then when you take, like, that's one thing, right? So like if you were to, that's one picture. That's like the superficial pain that it's bringing to your life. So now on the flip side, imagine that you had perfect rhythm. I mean, it's not going to be perfect. I don't mean to make it sound like it's like this pedestal thing. Like, it's always, there's stuff happens, you know, we get knocked off, like you spend a week like in your cave and then you'll come out again. but things like that do happen. But when you have the rhythm, if you could imagine that you didn't have the overwhelm, that you actually had like space for the things you needed, you wanted in your life, that your body felt amazing. Like you woke up and you were ready to move, and you like, you didn't have aches. You didn't like feel bloated, like digestion wasn't an issue. All of these different pieces, like that is what thrive is. That's what it means to thrive. Like to be like the Ayurvedic perspective of health is wholeness. It's not like, well, I can't complain. I haven't been diagnosed with any diseases and I am not on any prescription meds at the moment, so I guess life is pretty good. You know, that's waiting for a disease to happen. And if we're not thriving, it's like, which direction is it going in? You know what I mean? It's like, if you're not thriving, then you're not in full health. And if you're not doing something about not thriving, you're going in the other direction. And so thrive. Woo! We all want it. So if we have that rhythm, so when you imagine that picture, right? Like what would that be like if that was your life? And then take this other picture and I'm addicted to coffee or, you know, overwhelm or whatever it is, right, that you painted, and compare it to that. And the difference between those two, that's really the pain. That's what it's costing you. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's way bigger. Like we make ourselves think, well, who am I to complain? I've got a home, I've got a husband, I've got a whatever it is, I've got a decent job. Why do we want to think small like that when we could have this? You know? Now I've totally gotten off on a tangent. So, but that's really why we want to line up to the rhythm. That's really why we want to have rhythm. And it's not like a flipping on a switch, but it happens. What?
So explain this to us.
Yes. So I'm fearing that I've missed something. I've dropped a point somewhere. If I left any question in your mind about something, remind me of it, you know, you said something about this, what did you mean, or you left this out. All right, so we all know that there are seasons, right, and that's the Ritucharya, the change of the seasons and going with that change of the seasons. The Ayurvedic clock shows us that, and this is actually taken from a friend of mine, another yoga health coach who's an Ayurvedic practitioner. This is from her book. And the idea is that, so we talked about, we didn't really talk about it yet, but there are three different doshas. And the doshas, or constitutions, really what that word means is out of alignment, these are the ways you go out of alignment, right? And so it's like our tendencies, you know, there's nothing wrong with any of the doshas, but that's just kind of what the word means. And throughout the day, our the hours of the day are governed by these different doshas. So I'm gonna back up before I go over this. And where was it? I had that. I wanted to. Read to you guys. That was in here. So in Ayurveda, there are five elements. Normally we talk about, you know, fire, earth, air, and water, but in Ayurveda there's five, and it's those same elements plus ether, or space. So think of when you feel spacey, at times, where you're can't really feel ungrounded, that's the negative version of it, but space can also be a way that we just feel really connected to the cosmos, or to empathizing even with other people, where you so easily are able to get bigger and be spacious in that way. Space is an amazing thing. It feels wonderful, but they're all awesome, but it's just a matter of balance, right? So, where is that quote? It was so awesome. Here it is. We need only to remember this, to be still within our true nature, to be present in our activities and observations, to discard memories belonging to hearsay and beliefs that can't be verified, to simply live and to be. That's not it.
Sounds good.
It does sound good.
Or
I didn't have a. Yeah. Is this it? Ugh. Anyway, I can't find it exactly what I'm trying to say, but or the quote itself that I was thinking of, but basically it's the idea of when we go out of balance, it is usually, it always comes from a place where we're going against our nature. We're going against what, like, the wisdom within that's telling us something else usually. You know, like when I eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's and I know I shouldn't do it.
Like our intuition is that?
Yeah. So yeah. Your intuitive knowing, your, yeah. It could also be like your, like something that you know, like because you've done it, you've been there before, okay. And you just do it again, right?
Sure.
Or like, you know, like, so it's basically like, the nature of us as humans is that we're meant to evolve. We're meant to learn from our mistakes. But sometimes we keep making the same mistakes on purpose. Right? And so, like, these, when we do that, we're going against ourselves. And we're going, like, then you, like, usually what happens is that, especially if you are more in tune, your body tells you, like, you'll feel terrible. You know, like either emotionally or physically, like because you went against yourself in that way. And for like when you build up, when people build up enough ama, and we'll talk about that too, that like that's kind of the norm, they don't notice it. Like when you get to a certain, like, you know, you're just like, that's kind of the way. So like, for instance, like, you know, those people who don't ever drink water. Ever. They drink sodas and caffeine and, like, you know, like never, ever, 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 ever drink water, never eat a healthy, never eat a vegetable, never, like, and you wonder, like, how are they alive? If I did that for one day, I would be, like, so sick. And so, like, it's like that. Like, they're, for them, like, it's a little bit of a different story because they're not, like, they don't know better at some level. I mean, their body does, but they've gotten to a certain level of toxicity that it's just become the norm that, like, they're, you know, not, and their body's just basically on, like, let's keep this thing alive as long as we can, kind of, you know. So that's the, according to Ayurveda, that is the basic reason for disease. Like, it's the word ama that I just used is the beginning of disease. Ama is anything that it basically means undigested. Like, it's the undigested material, and it could be undigested emotion, it could be undigested experiences, it could be undigested food. A lot of times it's food, but it could easily be any of those things, you know. Like, it's that when we don't leave, and how can we digest emotions or food if we don't leave the space for the process to complete itself, you know? So, like, say something happens in your life or in your day, like something happens and you're like a school teacher, so you're like, have to keep teaching, you know. You can't, it's not like you can stop and like take a deep breath, and I mean, you can, but it's not like you can stop and the same way someone else would who was not having to go to the very next thing or be there, be present for 30 other little humans and all these things. And so then the thing to do is to, like, take a deep breath and acknowledge it, and then when you have the time, like, sit with that, you know what I mean? Like, sit with that emotion, sit with that, like, this happened and it felt like shit, you know. And then you really, like, allow yourself to feel whatever that was and give yourself that space. And a lot of times it's all that's needed, you know. Sometimes there's a conversation that might need to be had, or you might have a next action that you do, but it's not going to be the first step has got to be that you digest it. It was your experience, and you have to, like, digest it. You have to process it. Just the same way, like, you ate the food, right? I ate that pint of Ben and Jerry's. I did it. Now I better, like, I better do some, I better not, like, go have a cheeseburger. You know what I mean? Or, like, wake up tomorrow morning and go have a giant pancake breakfast. If I, you know, because then I'd be, like, throwing more on top of it. I'm not allowing the space for that to, like, go. So, not to say you can't have ice cream, even though it is, like, one, like, the worst things you could do, like, Ayurvedically speaking, because it's cold and it's dairy. But you can still do it. But you have to, like, that's the thing, like, when you know the rules, and you, then you know, like, if I'm going to have something, I'm going to do it at lunch. I'm going to eat it between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and, like, with my meal, not, like, 10 o'clock at night while I'm watching something on Netflix. You know what I mean? So, like, because that's not going to get digested. That is going to turn into ama. Like, you are just making that in your body. And so, not to say, like, that it's, you could never, it's going to eventually, if you want it to, you can do things to, for it to digest, and you can do things to counter ama and to work with that. But knowing, right, how to, because it's going to come up, just like things are going to happen, they're going to, like, strike a, like, huge emotional chords in us, and it's not like it, you can't avoid that. You just have to know now what, how to deal with it. So, the opposite of ama, or how we deal with ama, is agni, and that's the digestive fire. And the digestive fire is highest between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. So for instance, when we look at this little, our little infographic here, you see from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right at the top, those 4 hours, those are dominated by or governed by pitta. And pitta is fire and water, but fire. And so that's when your agni, A-G-N-I, is at its highest. Your digestive fire is at its highest. So that's when you want to be eating your biggest meal. And because that's when you have the highest capability to, like, for your body to actually digest it and assimilate it, like, to, in order for you to take as much as you can out of it and not have ama as much built up. So another, I mean, there's, like, simple things you think, like, you all know this, like, you shouldn't eat if you're not hungry. Right? But a lot of times we do. Like, you might eat for emotional reasons, you might eat for convenience because, well, this is my lunch break, I'm not hungry, but I won't have another chance. It might be because there's some donuts sitting there and they look really good and someone brought them into work, what am I going to do? You know, like, there's all of these different reasons that we violate that, you know, like, knowing within ourselves that I probably shouldn't eat if I'm not hungry. But what happens when we do that too is, like, if you're not hungry, if you don't feel like that, you know, inside, then your body is not ready to eat. Your digestive fire is not there. Like, you'll feel the fire. Like, I mean, you know what that feels like, right? Like, that feels like, oh, I need to eat. When you wait until you feel that, then your body is super ready to digest, and so it's going to be way more effective. And so, like, you can, in those times, you can get away with eating something that's not necessarily as good for you, like, or as, you know, like, combining things that don't digest well together, or having a bigger dessert or something like that. Like, you could get away with it during that time more if you were super duper hungry. But in general, like, once the sun starts to go down, your digestion really slows down. And so if you eat anything heavy at night, it's turning into ama. Like, it's, I mean, even though technically you could say, like, but it's going through my digestive tract, it is, but you're not going to absorb it. Instead, like, maybe parts of it, but not to the degree that it needs to be absorbed in order to not be a problem. And so what happens, we all have, because of your constitution, like, that you were just born with, like, you know, like, which has to do with, like, just your body type mainly, you tend to have certain, like the way, like the word dosha, the way it tends to go out, right? The way it tends to, like, the fault in a way. And so when ama builds up in your system, it'll tend to show up in certain ways. And like, so initially it might be mucus, like, oh, I woke up, like my nose, I wouldn't stop, you know, like I had to blow my nose over and over. Or it might be that you have stomach acid, or some kind of like inflammation in your joints, or, you know, like however it's showing up, all of these things are ama. And initially it's something that you can deal with pretty easily if you know how to, or go to get some advice from someone who knows how to. But once it gets to a certain point, once the ama builds up, it will turn into a disease. Dis-ease, right? Like, so that's the root of disease. In the beginning, it shows up in whatever way it tends to show up in your dosha, whatever's out of balance in you. But then if it doesn't get addressed, it will turn into something bigger that might be in a different part of your body. And that's the root of all disease. And so the answer to it is getting in rhythm, really. Because when we're in rhythm, we're not doing all of those, like a lot of the things that violate our bodies aren't happening. You know, like you're getting rest. You're eating, you know, like at the time when you need to be eating. You're not doing, you know, and it's the idea of most of the time. It's not to say, like, you know, somebody, there's some special occasion, you go out and you decide, yeah, I'm gonna violate tonight.
Serious terminology.
I know, it's wrong. It's messed up. It's like, I need to change that.
Violate your body.
Right? But that you know, like, I'm going against the wisdom of my body.
Maybe deviate?
I'm deviating. Yeah, there you go. I'm deviating tonight. But as long as that's not your norm, then it's not going to be a really big problem. You're not going to, you know, like...
You're going to be able to recover.
Yeah, you're going to be able to recover. It's going to be a shorter recovery period, too, because you have the momentum of the rhythm. So when we talk about Dinacharya, I mentioned earlier, that's like the rhythm. Those are the habits that we need. Just self-care. It's daily self-care, Dinacharya. And it's in Ayurveda, what I teach in the course is like these 10 habits that you implement one per week. And that's why we do it for a year, because the first time you go around, you might pick up one or two habits like that actually stick, because this is new stuff. And so then the next quarter, you start to like, okay, I've got those two. Now let's see what else I can do. And then, you know, eventually then you refine what you've got. And then next thing you know, like, it's kind of just a way of life. And yes, you will go in and out with it like we do with everything, but it becomes like you've got momentum at that point. And the idea is that as you change your habits, that you automate them. Like, you can't automate them immediately. Immediately you're just trying to integrate them at all. But once they're automated, you're not thinking about them. Because then, like, as far as like, do I want to do this? That kind of thinking about them, right? So like, you're not thinking about like, do I really want to wake up and hydrate and poop this morning?
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of like, you're not thinking about it anymore, you just like, I wake up, I turn on my kettle, I like, you know, like, those are, these are the habits. Like, so one of the first one is earlier, lighter dinner. You don't have to write these down. Like, I mean, you can if you want to. But actually, I have a little handout, too, that I made it in the fall, but it's still the same idea. That you wake up, you eat an earlier, lighter dinner. That means you're going to eat hopefully before the sun goes down. So it changes a little bit. It's earlier in the winter. But you, and then, and you want to eat 3 hours before bedtime, like two in general. Like you want to be done eating, like by then. And you want to eat lighter. You don't want your, you don't really want to eat in the evening. Like the word dinner, what we call dinner now, used to be called supper, comes from supplemental. Like just like, do you need something to tide you over before you break your fast in the morning? Hey, that's what the idea is. Break fast, breakfast, right? So if you have, if you ate a really good lunch that was like well-rounded and nourishing and you didn't have a super crazy active day, you might not need anything. But that also depends a little on your constitution. So so eating an earlier lighter, but so like earlier lighter means hopefully no meat. If you're eating heavy now, then just eat earlier. Like if you had to pick earlier, lighter, like that's a big thing. Like to shift from like eating like a big old heavy dinner at 7, 8 o'clock, like to eating a salad at 5, that's a huge shift. So like just keep eating, if you're trying to make a shift, like just keep eating your heavy, but scale it earlier. Like just do your best to get it as early as you can. And then once you've got that in place, then okay, well, let me eat a bigger salad before I eat these heavy things. And then, or like soup or whatever. But in general, like eventually, your evening meal, you want it to, if you're having an evening meal, you want it to not include meat or probably beans or probably dairy or probably any heavy grains. Like it's really light. It's just a supplement. It's just something to tide you over. You'll feel better, way better in the morning. And if you wake up right now feeling groggy or feeling stiff or feeling like it takes you like 30 minutes, an hour and a half to get into your body where you're like, okay, you know, like, then it might take a week of eating earlier for you to start to feel the difference. But it's a pretty dramatic difference. So eating an earlier, lighter dinner is the first habit. Eating or going to bed early is a second habit, early to bed. So it's like, so on here, 10, this one's a little different than the one I usually go by, but 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. is also Pitta time. So 10 to 2 is Pitta time, like regardless if it's a.m. or p.m. And, but at night, what happens if you stay up past 10 is you get your second wind, and you're all like all of a sudden, like that's there's a very palpable shift that happens where like you could be like tired and trying to get a few things done before bed, and if you get involved in something and then next thing you know, like you passed, it's like 10:30 and you're like not tired really so much anymore, but I mean you are, but not like mentally, somehow you're like driven again. That's because it's the Pitta time. And so you want to get to bed before 10. Because also that quality of sleep that you can get between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. is the deepest quality of sleep that you can get. And so if you don't, you're missing out and you're actually borrowing time from tomorrow. So that sucks. Yeah. So if you don't eat an earlier, lighter dinner, and I never noticed this before I started doing it, when you don't eat the earlier, lighter dinner, you don't sleep as well. So even if you do go to bed earlier, sometimes you wake up again, or I would, like wake up again, or like not quite sleep so deep, or not be able to get to sleep as well. Or so I noticed this big correlation between eating an earlier, lighter dinner and being able to get deep sleep. So that affects you. So early to bed. The next one is start the day right, and that involves waking up early and drinking a lot of water, depending on your constitution and what your digestion is like. And like maybe you wake up and you like go, you like automatically like just eliminate, but for whatever, like everyone doesn't. And so one of the things is you've been just resting, like all those hours, you haven't drank anything. See, there's the need to hydrate, and then that water doesn't really go into your body in the same way that it would if you were drinking it during the day. It will, the heaviness of it, like, will just go into your, like, help you eliminate, go into your bowels. So, like, for some of us, we need to drink a lot of water, like a couple quarts of water. For some people, it might be a cup or two, but for others, it could be. It also depends on your history of digestion. Like if you've been constipated for your whole life, then it's going to take longer to get out of that. And really, what we're looking for in the morning. I'm going into such crazy detail with these habits. Really, what we're looking for in the morning is an 18-inch poop. Yep. 18-inch. Yeah. We're looking for the descending and transverse colon to empty. Like, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's from just the previous days.
Yes.
Food, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So unless you're like, I mean, there are some people who like kind of eliminate like I've heard of like people who will like just eliminate after every meal. And if that's happening for you, it's possible you wouldn't have 18 inches. Like if you literally eliminated after lunch maybe, but for the most part, like, yeah, you're looking for that 18 inches. And you can learn a lot from looking at your stool to see like what it tells you a lot about what happened in your body, like how long it sat there, how hydrated you are, or like how not hydrated you are, you know, like, so, but that's start the day right. The next one, there we go.
I have a question about the water. Is it better to have warm water or yes. cold water when you wake up?
You should never have cold water according to Ayurveda. Yeah.
Is that true with any fluids? Like iced tea or stuff like that?
Yeah, really? Pretty much. Yeah.
It's hard in the summer.
I know. Like, cool is okay.
What does it do if you have too much iced water or drinks?
One thing it can do is dampen your digestive fire a little bit. Like, you know, and then apparently cold things don't actually help to cool you down. I mean, it feels cool, but technically, I think what happens is the body's response is to heat back up because you just put something so cold in it. So, like, having something cool in the summer is cooling, but having something cold is not so much.
In some way.
Kind of, but definitely not. Definitely the digestive fire thing, like it's an issue with that. And certainly if it's in the cooler times, you wouldn't want to have anything cold.
What about a glass of wine? I mean, I like, you know, a glass of wine with my meal.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, we do those things, don't we, from time to time.
Uh-huh.
The best time to have it would be with lunch.
At work.
I know.
Right. Technically.
You could put it in something else.
Yeah. Technically, that would be the best time. But if you're at work, like, you know. Might not be looked upon kindly. So, yeah, it's not something you probably want to do on a daily basis. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not horrible. If you do, but better with food than without food for certain, and earlier. But what happens is that sugar, it's just sugar in your body, you know, I mean, and alcohol, and so it's like not, it's kind of offensive and violating.
Violating your body.
Okay. Jeez. But yeah, but it's not like to say you can't ever do that. It's more of a thing of like
in moderation.
Yeah, and a lot of times, like with habits, even habits that you know are not, like, as long as they're occasional, but if you know that they're not great for you and you kind of want to stop, but like, for instance, one of my fellow yoga health coaches, like she, as we were going through almost the whole program, I didn't even know, like she like kept it a secret because we're all virtual until we meet. So like I didn't know until like very close to when I met her in person that she was a smoker. And she, you know, and obviously she's embarrassed about the fact, you know, because she's a yoga teacher. She's like an Ayurvedic, like, you know, she's helping people with all these habits. She's like, can't kick this habit, you know. And it wasn't a lot. It was only a little, but it was still like it was something like she knew she was out of alignment with it and it was really bothering her. But the thing is, like, one is with things like that, you don't want to hide them. Like you know, like if you hide it, then it becomes like shame, and then it becomes something that's harder to.
It's worse than the act itself.
Yeah, in a way, like and then you're just like perpetuating it because you're like, I can't tell anybody, you know, like. So in a way, voicing your these things, like having somebody you can talk to and say like, oh, Melissa, I ate another pint of Ben and Jerry's, you know, or whatever it is. And so, like, you can talk to it about to a person about it, but also as you, like, it becomes less important to, like, I must stop this, you know, and instead, like, focus on the good habits you want in your life. And then as you get more aligned with your own rhythm, certain things will kind of start to fall away on their own. And it might take years for all of them, you know what I mean? But you stop craving some things that you craved at other times because you're aligning to something different. So that's cool. So yeah. The fourth habit is breath body practice, and that's... I wasn't even going to tell you about all these habits, but here I am. You're writing them down, so I feel like I have to continue. So breath body practice is like in the morning, early, you do that. You breathe and you move. And it could be an intuitive thing. It could be going for a jog. It could be like doing yoga. It could be whatever your physical activity is that you like to do. It could just be breathing and moving and stretching, but it's breathing, like getting oxygen, deep oxygen to your brain, and that makes it so that you can actually make better choices, like later, like in the afternoon, because you bathed your brain in oxygen in the morning. It's super cool. It's also a time, like you want to move your body. Like we get so sedentary in our times, like where, you know, we're so virtual and like task oriented, like gotta do this, and a lot of times the self-care stuff is put on the back burner, when if we put it not on the back burner, if we take it off the back burner and put it like right out, like this has to get done, it's non-negotiable, then the other stuff doesn't feel like so overwhelming, you know, because we're on this, you have the rhythm. So like you're moving and breathing in the morning, you're sitting in silence, which is meditation, preferably in the morning, and preferably all of this is happening before the sun rises, or or at least you get up at some point before the sun rises, because there is something special about that time early. Where are we at here? You see dawn on the left side of the page, and that time between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. is a vata time, and vata is ruled by space and ether. And so it's easier for us to connect in that way, like to the divine, whatever that means to you, and to other people and to the world, and like to just feel that connection that we have to everything. And so that's a great time to meditate. It's also a great time to like do a creative project or write, or if you have like something you want to get out there, like a mental something that you're trying to get out there, whether it's like I want to write every day because I'm writing a book, or something like that. And where are we at? Plant-based diet is one of them. That doesn't mean being a vegetarian or being a vegan. It means that those, like the plants, have the bulk of the nutrition that we need, and we need more plants than anything else. Not that we don't need or can benefit from meat products or dairy products, but the plants are where it's at. Like, nutritionally speaking, what they have to offer us is incredible. So we learn a lot about plants and what they do, and how the different parts of plants have different things that they deliver to us, like that they give to us, and the fact that the plants like really want to nourish us, to like help us survive. Like, they give us oxygen. It's so cool. Like, and that even though all of these plants that we've tried to eradicate over time continue to grow, and like people talk about, like people spray dandelions and thistles, when these, like, you could say that they're noxious weeds, like that's what people say, but they are so life-giving. They have so many, they're better, they have more nutrition than the greens that you can get in the grocery store, because they are so resilient and so good at like taking the nutrients that they need from the earth. So like harvesting your thistle leaves and throwing them in your smoothie, or putting the whole, you can even like at the end of the season, you can take the whole plant and dry it and then put it in your blender and make it into a powder, and then all winter long you can have thistles in your smoothies, or you know, pick your dandelions. Don't spray them, because you can, they're so good for you. And you can use all of the plant, like the root is really good, the leaves are really good, you can eat the flower too. So plant-based diet. Next is self-massage is an Ayurvedic practice that's really, if you think about it, touch is so important in general, and our skin is a giant organ, a giant sense organ that, like, you know, some people are in really loving relationships and get that, like, from people around them, whether it be children or partners. But some people don't have that in their lives, right? And if you don't, you still need it. So, like, that's, like, in one way, like, it's a very loving practice that you're giving yourself love by massaging yourself. That's really what it boils down to. But it has so many other benefits to it. Like, one is that and there's different ways to do it. Like, and it depends on your constitution and stuff too. But if you're oil, your body loves oil. Your body needs oil rather than having like lotions and creams, which usually, I mean, not usually, they always have lots of ingredients. Like, and if you're buying it and not making a lotion or a cream, then they have preservatives and junk in them. They just do, because there's no way to make it stable to be on the shelf for long enough for somebody to buy it. So then you're like, even if it's got mostly pure ingredients, you're still gunking up your system, because this is a digestive organ, your skin. Like, anything you put on your skin, you should be able to eat. So if you can't put it on your body and lick it off, then you shouldn't be putting it on your body, because then you're poisoning yourself, literally. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when you keep it, it's just like when we eat too. Like, if you eat like a box of something, which, like, if you think about how many ways, like, it had to be handled and processed to get it into that form, that's similar to, like, an organic lotion, right? Like, so then you put that on your body, but it's so much harder for your body to digest that than an oil. Like, you put an oil on, and it's just oil. It's just like, that's it. It's like, you know, like, you eat, like, oil, or some, you know, like coconut oil or olive oil or whatever, or one single thing, like a nut, which has oil in it, you know, that's good for you. But if it were, you know, once it's peanut butter and you're buying on the shelf, it's not quite as good, because other things have been done to it, but there's better peanut butter. But anyway, I'm not getting into that. So with your skin, so when you massage, it's like, so massage is, obviously there's lots of physical benefits to it, like your circulation and all this stuff. But like, without going into any more detail on this, I'm just going to say, it's really about self-love, and in a very big way, it's super grounding. And the oil that you use is grounding and nourishing to your body, as well as the physical act of touching is grounding. And so who can't use more grounding, you know, like especially with technology and all of our busy lives. So then the next one is, where are we at? That's number six. Number seven is healthier eating guidelines, and that's where we kind of talk about different things that are like not eating if you're not hungry, like taking time to breathe, like actually sitting down and eating, like just different things that like these make a big difference on like how you eat. You're, you know, getting all the six tastes. There in Ayurveda, we break down food, all taste, down into six different tastes or rasas. And if you have all six tastes in each meal, you don't crave. It's really cool. You don't like crave like that sweet or that something else afterwards because you had it all. And so it's like we tend to steer like a little bit away from bitter things, and like some people steer away from pungent things or astringent things because they're not sweet, or they're not, you know, like we not like it seems like most of our foods are more on the sweet
or salty,
heavy and salty, and those are those are very kapha foods, and so like doesn't necessarily serve you. It might depending on the time, but when you get all six tastes, when you like the different flavors have different benefits in your body, like astringent things are toning even for your skin. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
So healthier eating guidelines is 7, 8 is what are they? Now I'm blanking out. Sense organ care is one of them. Yeah, so sense organ care, where like it's not like your skin is a giant sense organ, but we've also got the eyes, the like the nose, the mouth, the ears, like what you take in through all of these, right? How you perceive the world, and taking care of these sense organs, taking care of our eyes. Like we just abuse everything in a way. Like we just like run it down till it like doesn't work anymore, and then what can I do about it? Instead of like taking care of your eyes and how you know, and like paying attention to like what your senses are telling us. Sometimes like you go into a place and it's like really loud or like obnoxiously loud, or the kind of sound is loud or obnoxious rather, and we just deal with it, you know, or lighting or whatever, you know, like you just put up with it, you know. Maybe somebody you live with or have lived with in the past keeps the television just running constantly, or radio just running constantly, and you're like, that's not good for you. And if you're particularly sensitive to it, then, you know, that's something that just like going against yourself. If you don't do something about it, you're like, you're offending yourself without, you know, by putting up with it or whatever. So like taking care of your senses is one of them. And then one of them is easeful living. And that is really in a big way how we choose to perceive life and bringing more ease into our lives by the way we choose to perceive. Yeah. Like one part of that might be, you know, having an attitude of gratitude as opposed to, you know, but also like there's a lot that kind of can go into that that habit of easeful living, but it's pretty That's a big thing, easeful living. So, anyway, did not really mean to deliver all 10 commandments to you, but I did, and I wasted a bunch of time. So here we're going to, let's go. There is a, where is that? Aha. All right. Body types. So if you, does everybody have something to write with? I do have some more pens. So this is what I'm going to have you do is like just write down. Here's what we'll do. I'm going to do two. Just to check. So if you take on the top hat, like just where, well, I'm not sure what space you have left. Or does anybody need a piece of paper?
I think I need a piece of paper.
I'll take one too.
Yeah.
So I don't remember.
And then you could do something, you could either use one side and then the other side, or you could draw a line down, you know, and like, because we're going to do two different ones and just see if they're different. Okay. But,
thank you.
All right, so now in your first space that we're dealing with, like this first quiz we're going to do, so if you just make three columns, maybe, sort of. They don't have to be perfect, but just like V, P, K. You're going to like, so you're just basically tallying how many you have in the Vata, how many you have under Pitta, and how many you have under Kapha. So the first thing we're going to do is like, oh, right. Yeah, this one's different. Okay, so skin. All right, so Vata skin. And this can, like, it can be a little bit different. Okay, so dry, cold, rough, leathery, tans easily, rarely burns, dark, sallow, premature wrinkling. Any of those are Vata characteristics for skin.
So we just put a check mark if we...
I think put a, just put like a Roman numeral one kind of thing. And then Pitta, under Pitta skin, like for skin, Pitta would be moderately oily, soft, warm, freckled, moles, yellowish, reddish, rashes, pimples, tans moderately. So if you have, if you feel like, yeah, that's me, that one's me, then put the one under the P, under Pitta, right? So, and then Kapha skin, cool, soft, dense, oily, smooth, clear, pale, fair with gleam, like moon glow might be another way you'd say something like that kind of a pale that's like almost glowy, it's so white, burns when overexposed to the sun. So you should, now you should have a one in one of those, but you, it might, it's possible that you would have a one in two of those if you were like, well, I'm that too. It's possible. Okay, so hair, now we're gonna go like, this is Vata. Brown, so wait till I read all of these parts so you kind of like get an idea. So brown, black, dry, thin, tightly curled, frizzy, body hair, very fine or very coarse. Those are kind of contradicting, like they a little bit. But, and I could even read all of them if it helps. Like, so Pitta hair, strawberry blonde, auburn, red, straight, silver, prematurely gray, prematurely bald, Kapha hair, blonde, jet black, dark brown, oily, abundant, wavy, shiny. Kapha hair is usually like thicker, you have more hair, and it's usually like it's just like bigger, like the hair itself is bigger, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I have like no matter I could like make my hair look as big and bouncy as you wanted it, you know, like in some ways, but like when I put it together, this is how much hair I have. You know what I mean? Right, whereas like most kaffa hair is like it's thick and it's heavy and it's luxurious and not dry. But you might have kaffa hair. Your hair's gorgeous. Yeah, and then like if you had red hair, if you grayed early, that's pitta. If you if there's red in your hair, it could be. And so you could be a mixture. You could be like, oh, from that, I must have, you know, pitta kapha hair or something. Maybe I'm a little pitta, a little vata or whatever. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions about that? But vata hair is definitely on the dry side and tends to be frizzy. Okay, eyes. So vata eyes, gray, brown, unusual color, smaller, dry, itchy, narrow, dull. That's not very nice, is it? That's one of the things. I don't like that at all. It must mean it in a different way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, pitta eyes, light brown, hazel, green, almond-shaped, piercing, easily bloodshot, yellow sclera, like the white part of the eye. Doesn't mean it's yellow, but it could be. Does that make sense? Kapha eyes, black, blue, clear, big, bright, sensual, white sclera, thick lashes. So most people are not just one dosha. Most people are, you know, like, Yeah, it can be a little confusing sometimes, like some of the things. You know, like eyes that have, that are like my second son has huge eyes. And it's like they're almost like this. So those are more like, those are what they mean by sensual big eyes. It's like when, like, it's a trying to, like, they're trying to think of somebody or a thing, like, you know, does that make sense? Like, they're actually have more of a, I can't show, like, you, because that's recording.
They're just big.
They're like almost like more bulbous, like bulging, you know, bigger. Like those are the sensual eyes. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas like vata eyes, literally like the eye, like opening might look smaller, like just more narrow. And like pitta might have piercing eyes. Pittas are generally more intense, fire, right? Vata, dry, wind, air. Pitta, fire, water. Kapha, earth, water. Heavy, calm, serene, grounded. Like the changeable vata. Pitta. So, nails, if we go back to vata, grayish, brittle, dry, ridged, tendency to bite nails, could be. Pitta, clear pink, reddish yellowish, well-formed, pliable. Kapha, clear, pale, strong, square, even. Kaphas have more oil naturally in their, and pittas can too, but like they tend to be like more, like their skin is thicker, whether it's light or dark, it's like it has a thickness to it, and it tends to like hold more moisture, whereas like a vata might have the same color skin as a kapha, but they tend to be drier and their skin will be thinner and they'll be more like, I don't want to say fragile in general, but like, I mean, they're smaller, you know, in a way. Like, does that make sense? Like, in more, whereas kapha type is usually more substantial, like strong, grounded. Body frame. Vata, very short or very tall, thin, narrow frame. Could be big jointed, flat chested, sharp or bent nose, gains weight in midriff. If they gain weight, they gain, that would be the place. But they don't, yeah. Pitta, medium build, well shaped, athletic, toned, moderate weight, aquiline nose. I think that, like, they have an even. Whereas opposed to like Vata can be like more uneven. Gains weight evenly, like just kind of all over if you gain weight. Kapha, heavy, strong, can be overweight, compact, wide, square frame, well lubricated joints, gains weight in great mounds, buttocks, thighs, chest, arms.
Great mounds.
Thanks for
It's not necessarily kind, but the way that they're no. But the kapha types tend to have a hard time losing weight. Pitta types, Vata types tend to have a hard time gaining weight, and then so they could lose weight more easily. And then Pitta types, more so like you can gain or lose weight. Emotional temperament, Vata. Raw nervous system, low tolerance to pain, noise, bright lights, indecisive, fidgety, fearful, frigid, introspective, perceptive, disciplined, spiritual and austere. So introspective, perceptive, disciplined, and spiritual / austere, those would be more like for a Vata, like a natural state when that person is in balance. Like a lot of these, like I said, like are characteristics of out of balance, you know? So it's not like you gain weight in mounds all the time, you know? But yeah. So Pitta, emotional temperament, hot, arrogant, irritable, right? So it's not like all Pittas are assholes. It's like, this is when you're out of balance, okay? Right? But that's how you can pick out a lot of these, like, easiest. You can go like, oh yeah, I do that. Or sometimes you can pick it out easier in another person. Self-centered, alert, acidic, adaptable, intelligent, bright. So those, again, those are when they're in balance.
Right.
Successful. Kapha, stable, attached, narrow-minded. A lot of times they tend to, because they're so stable, they tend to like just be like, this is the way, you know? And so that's the narrow-minded. Stubborn, neglectful, forgiving. So these, again, these last few are the ones like when they're in balance. They're forgiving, calm, complacent, contemplative, nurturing, maternal, really peaceful. Emotionally, if you had to, like, a positive aspect of all of them, if you were like, and at my emotional best, like if you were a kapha, it would be peace. If you were pitta, it would be love. If you were more vata, it would be joy, like exuberance. Okay, under stress. These are like tendencies under stress. For Vata, loses weight, insomnia, easily addicted to substances, paranoia, restless, blurred mind, constipation, excess gas. for Pitta, violent dreams, excess sweat and body odor, promiscuous, high stomach acid, ulcers, gluttony or weight loss. It could go either way. Insomnia, addiction to intoxicants, hot spices, diarrhea. Kapha, oversleeps, overeats or loss of appetite, inertia, anorexia, water retentive, greedy, lazy. So right now, you could just look, I mean, this is a super simple way of doing it, but you could look and see like how many do you have in each column? How many would that be? 1, 2. Was it 8?
Yeah. I just tallied one in each, only one out of each one, and I have 8.
Oh, I kind of, I don't know, after menopause, things changed.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. What do you got so far?
It looks like I'm Vata.
Like, and then was there another one that's
Pitta?
Pitta's, yeah. more than Kapha?
Yeah, I didn't have any on Kapha.
Oh, there you go.
The majority of mine are in Kapha. That's kind of a balance between Vata and Kapha.
Yeah.
I had one in Pitta.
Oh, it's yours, Melissa.
Pitta.
What?
Pitta.
All Pitta? Mm-hmm. Like every single one?
Well, I mean, some of them I have both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't have any in Kapha either. I'm almost exactly.
As what?
It's Vata and Pitta.
Vata, oh, Pitta. Mm-hmm. More in Pitta or Vata?
Vata.
Strong Vata.
Yeah. What's he gonna say?
What's yours?
I didn't do it this time, but in general, most of mine are in Pitta, and then the next highest is Kapha. And then the next highest is Vata, but I still have a significant amount in Vata. You can be tridoshic, which is a little like more even than in all of them. I still play around with whether I'm imagining that I'm tridoshic, or whether I'm Pitta Kapha, or whether I'm something else, and I just am being, you know, like, I've been... Yeah, since 99, I think I've been like, trying. But no, like, I do feel... Yeah, that's I play around with either being Pitta Kapha or tridoshic, but definitely a little heavier in the Pitta. Where was I going to go with that? There's something I was going to say. Oh, so we all have a constitution that you're born with, right? It's just the way you tend to be, and it's like physical but also mental, like, you know, like whether you tend toward anxiety, like for instance, Vatas tend towards anxiety, Pittas tend towards like anger and frustration and like things like that, Kaphas would tend towards depression, right? But then the other thing is like each season has its own, like right now I was saying early spring is Kapha time, so you like people, you know, like the season tends towards that. But then we also have seasons of life, like your early life is Kapha, little babies, like not just babies but even little kids, like they're more Kapha. Then in the like middle period, like adulthood is Pitta, like people are generally more driven towards like goal oriented and driven in their careers and things like that. And then around menopause is like Vata time. And so like depending on what season in life you are, that also affects how you want to go about things, how you want to treat things, and how you want to organize your life. Like if you know you're in a vata period of life, you don't want to you don't want to have like a super packed schedule. You know, like you want to like have lots of things that are grounding you. And like because we all tend to, like everybody practically has a vata imbalance at some point just because of our day and age right now, how things are. But then you also, like, you can take, so there's a really good one if you go onto the Banyan Botanicals website. And I can too, like, I'll offer you the option of, actually, I'll do that right now. If you want to write down your, I'll just pass it around, like your name and your email, and I will give you the recording. And also, like, some other, like the link to the Spanian Botanicals thing and little things like that. But there's a really good, you can create a little profile. You take the quiz and it walks you through what your dosha is, your prakriti, but then also what your vikriti is, which is your imbalance. And so, like, that changes. So when you answer the first set of questions, you answer for all time. Like, not just now, but, like, if you were to look back, like from your earliest memories, like what were your dreams like? What were, you know, like what were you, I mean, because that's one of the things, like whether your dreams are like peaceful or crazy or, so you, so you write down, or so you answer those questions, like these questions for that. But then if you did it again, or if you do the Banyan Botanicals, it will take you through the next part, the Vikriti, where you are answering for just right now, not for always. And then you get an idea of, oh, okay. And then they actually will tell you, like, well, if this is your constitution and this is your imbalance, then you probably want to, you know, like, they'll offer you some suggestions for, like, what kinds of exercise, what kinds of food, what kinds of habits would be a good idea for you. So you see how, like, so basically when we break things, Ayurveda really breaks things down, everything down into these five elements. And you can look at it in terms of the doshas, but that's still the five elements. And then even food, like all food and all things in general have certain qualities that are inherent in them. And so eating a certain type of food, like if you're having a kapha imbalance and you were eating mashed potatoes or if you were eating ice cream because that's cold and dampening, right? Like, and you already, a kapha is already experiencing like earth and water, so like, or mashed potatoes are wet and heavy, same thing, like they're it's going to just take you further into that imbalance. Right, so then you find out what things are good for a kapha imbalance. What things are, what's that word? Basically, like not kapha, right? So you would, a kapha would probably want things that were actually more pitta, right? So they'd want to have things that were spicier and lighter and astringent, and that would help to like balance out the fact that they're in this heavier imbalance period, right? And so, like, it's that's why, like, it can get a little bit complicated when you just start looking at your dosha and then you're looking at the season and you're looking at all these different things. But in general, if you start to just align yourself to the rhythms of nature by, in a big way, meal spacing, you know, paying attention to when the sun comes up and goes down and eating your biggest meal in the middle of the day and things like that, then you leave space for your body to digest, and then you have a rhythm, and you start to do those things every day, right? So it's not like a vata would be like, yeah, I'm energized and I'm gonna wake up and, you know, like, do this morning. But then they might be like, but I don't want to commit to that, so like I might not do that tomorrow, you know what I mean? But if you, the more you can commit to one of those habits of, like, let's say I'm going to get up at 5:30 so that I can have that time for myself in the morning and see the sunrise and, you know, like, be awake before that happens, then if you do it on a regular basis, like, it becomes this, like, you're anchored, you know, like, or if it's your meal time, like, it's, and so you might even just pick one thing that you're like, I'm going to integrate this, because when we know that, like, modern day habit science teaches us, like, there's a lot of science out there and research to support that, like, when you try to take on too big of a change, it doesn't usually stick, which is, you know, another reason why New Year's resolutions don't usually stick. And so instead, if you could just pick one thing, and it could be like the tiniest version of it, even, like, for instance, if it's like, okay, I'm gonna eat an earlier, lighter dinner, but you're eating really heavy and you're eating at 8 o'clock, so it might be now, all right, I'm gonna eat an earlier dinner. I'm gonna start eating by 7. The kitchen will be closed at 7. And if you could commit to that one thing, then you've not only made a way for you to sleep better and digest better and feel better the next morning, which is huge, but you've set a new habit in motion. If it's small enough that you can do it, that you're going to do it. And then that's going to be like the inertia, like, that's going to get you the momentum. And then you can, you know, think of what then maybe the next thing is going to be or whatever. But, like, I encourage you not to, like, take on, not to go like, ha-ha, I wrote down all 10 of those habits and I'm going to do them, you know, because it will be overwhelming. So ashwagandha is one of many adaptogenic herbs, and they literally change what they do in your body depending on what your body needs. So it can give you more energy and help you cope with stress better, but it can also help you sleep deeper. That's like, right. It could, yeah, it's so, yeah. But the thing is, like, so that could be a big help to, like, your life, but you also then want to think about what's the root, you know, what's aggravating to begin with, and, like, this will help, but that's not going to fix it. So, like, the rhythm really is where it's at, period, like, for everything. And then we can tune in better and know what our bodies need and heal. Does anybody have any questions? Or
the 12-week course that you offer, does that implement these rhythms? And
yeah, the course, and it's really, like, I mean, there is a 12-week option, but it's really a year thing.
Oh, yeah,
where
yeah.
We do it 4 times, and it's all 10 of the habits, and so each week we implement one of the habits, and so, like, that whole week is just around, like, how do I get closer to doing this? Because, like I said, you're not going to go from eating lasagna at 8 o'clock at night to eating a salad at 5 p.m. with success very easily. Unless, I don't know. I mean, you could. Someone could. I'm sure there's someone who could do that.
A willpower.
But yeah, like, I mean, that would be pretty tough for most people, especially if you have anyone in your life. You know what I mean? Like, and so, like, So the course brings together these habits, these 10 habits of, like, that are Ayurveda, which are Dinacharya, like, self-care, and with habit science and, like, habit evolution, like, how do we know that we can more successfully change, if that makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
And then the dynamic group of all of us together, you know, being there to support one another is really big.
And that's already, you're starting a new group?
I am starting a new group at the beginning of May. I think May 4th is the day that I've set for our orientation call. It's like I do have local people in it, but there have also been people that are not local. So usually what we don't usually, unless I had a group of all local people, then we could do it that way. But what usually the way we do it is on Zoom, which is a video conferencing thing.
Okay.
So that like we have a weekly call. You get emails weekly with videos and course materials and ebooks and stuff, and then and then we have a weekly call. It's a group coaching call where everybody calls in and we talk about it and
mm-hmm.
we troubleshoot, and everyone, if they want to, has a time where they can individually like say like, this is what's going on with me, and this is like, how do I shift from that to that? You know, like it's very, the thing about it is like almost in anything, like how willing are you to be vulnerable and honest, you know, that's how much you're going to grow.
You can participate or not.
Yeah, right? I mean, you'll gain lots of it even if you don't, like, participate, but as long as you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, the chances that you'll be, the dynamic group plays a big role in it. So, like, if you have to kind of put yourself, like, what I've seen from the people that I've done it with, and I've done a couple of rounds now, and from what I've seen with people is the people that don't engage in the group don't really get much out of it. They don't even really like get what it's like, what it could do for them, because they're not being vulnerable. Like, you kind of got to put yourself out there and be honest and say like, yeah, I've been drinking a glass of red wine for like every night for the last 15 years, and I'm scared to give that up, you know, like to be able to say that in a group, like, or whatever it is, like, you know, that's the hope, that we all are willing to be that vulnerable so that you can receive the support, because as soon as you say something like that,
mm-hmm.
that's half of it, that's half of like moving past it. It's pretty cool. And then you get some individual, there's lots of other little pieces and bonuses to it. So one of the things too, like I'll offer all of you guys, and it'll be in the email too, is an option to schedule a wellness discovery session with me, and it's like 30 minutes on the phone where we talk about like, what are your biggest challenges right now with getting, like, we all have a gap between like this picture that I described of us being like in this beautiful rhythmic life where everything, we have time for what we want and we're not completely overwhelmed all the time. Not that we don't ever get overwhelmed, but that we love our lives and we thrive in it. So like most of us have a gap between what we want and what's the actual reality in our lives. And so the whole point of the course is to get you to that. It's to, you know, and then it's pretty amazing, I think. So the talk, it like is a no strings attached talk, like the wellness discovery session, like just a time to talk, and you'll gain something from it, whether we decide that the course is a fit for you or not. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Yeah.
I know, this was really interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me know if there's other stuff like that you're like, I like this part that you were talking about. Like, I want to know more about. Like, one of the things I'm thinking of doing the next talk might be, or one of the next talks might be about, like, body care, like, skin care. Like, what, you know, educating people. So many people don't know. Like you kind of know. I think people are starting to know more. Like, when you pick up something off the grocery store shelf, like, to eat, if you turn it over and it's got things you can't pronounce and have never heard of, and like the list goes on and on and on and on and on, like you should put it back on the shelf. Not good, not food, not real food. But like I swear I don't have a real statistic, but I think 90% of the body care products on the shelf, the people don't even know, like it's all toxic, all of it. You're poisoning yourself with your toothpaste, with your cleaning products, with your soap, with your conditioner, with your shampoo, you know, like. And so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. But yeah, like about that and about our alternatives, because like most of the stuff you can even do, you don't even have to buy a product, like a lot of it. You don't ever have to buy another moisturizing product again if you don't want to. You just buy oil. You could use the olive oil in your kitchen or the coconut oil, you know, so stuff like that. Yay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you.
I hope no one's like super upset that we went over.